Welcome to the Core Women Podcast, the place for women entrepreneurs, authors, and self-starters looking to build community and gain valuable insights through expert interviews with women at the top of their game. Join your host, podcaster, producer, expert coach, entrepreneur, and author, Dr. Summer Watson, as she aims to inspire and empower you through these candid conversations. Lean in and embrace the journey. It's time to start the show. Here's your host, Dr. Summer Watson.
Today on the show, I would like to welcome Elizabeth Nicholas, who is a career specialist and host of Your Employment Detective, a podcast for military and veteran spouses seeking to solve their career mysteries. She is also the virtual employment and educational specialist at the Trenton Military Family Resource Center. She enjoys creating and offering award-winning employment and entrepreneurial training to Canadian military and veteran families worldwide. Let's put on our boots and jump right into this conversation and welcome Elizabeth.
Thank you for having me. I can't say my boots are on, but my slippers are firmly entrenched on my feet, so it's all good. Thank you so much for the connection and for the opportunity. I am so excited.
Absolutely. This is going to be an exciting conversation. You know, as a military spouse for 21 plus years, when I was introduced to you, I was like, oh, I'm so excited to talk to her and find out more about what she does for our military and their families. So before we dive into your professional background, if you could describe your journey thus far in one word, what would that word be and why?
Honestly, I have a slew of words and I've been just diving all over the place. And I've come down to two, but it was between mystifying and puzzling. And I'm thinking mystifying still. I am one of those people that likes to have all the pieces fit and know what's happening next. And that is not our world. So I find it mystifying. I have had, you know, my own struggles and my own trials and tribulations. And I've just decided, you know, we just need to find the good stuff.
Yeah.
And I find the mystifying really fits. The things that I thought or I imagined for my own life are so different than what my thoughts were originally. I mean, I have 3 grown sons. I have a Christmas son, which is a story for another time. 2 grandkids that are exactly 9 months apart. Thank them so much for both putting them on the first of the month, so I only have to remember so much. And just an amazing career working with and for military and veteran spouses. So I love what I do, and I get to meet people like you. So the mystifying piece to me really is the fact that once I think I have the pieces and parts set, something shifts. And it's not always for a bad reason. Sometimes it's a pleasant surprise, but I just find everything seems to be a bit of a mystery. So I'm always digging in and trying to figure out those pieces and parts, but something always moves. So I guess it's just getting used to the uncertainty, I guess.
Right. Okay. So I love this word. Why? Because there's a lot of mystery in what we do. There's a lot of mystery, and part of mystery is change. And there's one constant, nothing else in this world, it is change. As you help military and veteran spouses, let's talk about that passion to help these folks. And where did this passion develop? How did this passion develop?
Well, I grew up in the city around Toronto. And I thought that I was going to be a marketing maven. So I took marketing and I started my career and I started my little family and things went sideways. And lo and behold, things went sideways. And years later, I meet a guy from, I call it the forest, but rural Ontario. And we had a child together. So there was 4 of us at that point. And don't I move from the city to the country? And I remember looking out my window, we were building a house and he took off hunting. Hunting is a big deal around here. And I had 2 little ones under the age of 2.5 and looked out of the window and saw what I called a goat path. So a dirt road, not a whole lot of people around me, very isolated. And I broke out to tears and I thought, what have I done? I've lost myself. I've become people's mother. And where's my marketing maven? What's going on with me? And my spouse was away constantly. you know, here and there and back and forth when he could be. And I realized that there, you know, I had to dig deep and find me and find the things important to me. But I realized that, yeah, to put it in short term, I lost myself. Who was I? Where was I going? Again, that mystifying piece, right? Something, a real little bit of a roadblock. Sometimes I'll say I cliffhang or I climb up the side of a cliff. So I had a job that followed me and they asked if I would go back and forth. So I did. And then son number three was coming. And I said, I can't keep going back and forth. I have three little ones at home and I could work on something new called the intranet. So I did that. And it was fine, but we were on dial-up, actually, to be honest. I was on dial-up till just a few years ago. That's how remote I am. That job went under after several years. I loved what I did, but they got bought out. And then at the ripe old age of mid-30s, I was redundant. So I was like, okay, now what? I ended up going to a resource center, and I have to tell you, I fell in love. I didn't want to go there. I felt like I could do it myself. I walked in and so many resources and so much help that did I not walk into a small position, very small position, but I had three little ones. So it worked well. From there, I took over being the administrator for that position. And then within a couple of years, I actually ran the whole building. So the whole resource center. And I loved it. And I still love it. I still work with them somewhat here and there. My husband found a job in the paper. That's how long it is. I've been at the NFRC for 18 years. That was part-time working with military spouses. And I'm like, ah, they don't need me. He goes, well, I think they might. So I had just finished getting my designation in HR, but I love training and development. Started working at the MFRC. That one job turned into two jobs, has turned into now doing a whole bunch of work virtually. So anywhere that the Canadian Armed Forces will send families along with members, of course, they can find me doing a couple different specialty programs. So in love with that. And I know that is a long story, but the main thing is that I get it. So I've been voted onto the island as a fellow military or veteran spouse. And I love the work I do. I am addicted. Even when I'm not working, I'm working. So very much passionate about what goes on with military and veteran spouses, as well as military members that want to transition and, you know, make a different life for themselves.
Well, first off, thank you for talking about your journey and sharing that and about how this passion developed for you and where you found yourself feeling like you're in a place of transition and how you did that over the years, because you felt a lack of maybe purpose in your professional arena or in the professional sphere that maybe you envisioned for yourself, but it took turns that you didn't even realize or were anticipating. To find that purpose and passion again, you went out looking. And here you are today helping others potentially find their purpose, their passion. As a military spouse, moving from place to place over and over. And although I have all these great credentials, you still feel like a part of you, the vision you had for yourself, the purpose that you had for yourself. Sometimes it could be, because something's missing. Sometimes it's nice to have that person who understands. And then you start a conversation and it gets into, well, would you be interested in this? Or things that maybe you didn't even think about. So here you are, this objective lens, helping them with their evolution and their journey. So when you talk to military veterans and their spouses, what are some of the most common career questions or transitional questions that they want to cover or are curious about with you?
So military family resource centers are all over Canada, and they're even out of the country as well. So we have CMFRCs. And I find I'm working closely with my peers on things, but I'm also finding that the movement, right? So moving from one base to another and, you know, just looking at what's next, every area is different. Every area is different. And I find that being the subject matter expert to, you know, really pump myself up within our area. So always making sure I know what's going on in my area. And what's happening and what making those employer connections and making that rapport building back and forth so that when they come in, we can get them to where they want to be. So as for your question about What are they looking for? Sometimes it's that worry about career progression, right? The trajectory of my career was looking pretty darn hot. And guess what? Now I'm moving from out west to here. I had one client that was in gas and oil out in Edmonton and came to Trenton. And guess what? There's not a whole lot of that work here. I've had other clients that have come from out east and have done, you know, 10 or 15 years doing healthcare aid, have a new relationship with someone who's in the military, and now they're posting to Ontario and they're saying, you can't do that job here. You need certification. So again, that education piece, are my credentials strong enough to get me where I need to be? And what about the pauses? What do I say? What do I do when I haven't worked for a year or two? I've had several people, even just in the portfolio courses that I teach, to help leverage. So I call it leveraging your prior learning. So whether it's formal prior learning, college or university, or whether it's prior learning from on the job or just from being a part of the military community, there's lots of learning. There's unique skills there for sure. And I've had them say, you know, I haven't been out of the house for 10 years because I've been home raising kids. And I'm like, well, so what skills do you have? So really looking at all those transferable skills, looking at what people want to do. A lot of people are really confused right now about what careers look like. They're hearing a lot of noise about AI. They're hearing a lot of noise about downsizing. Even the structure of just finding a job. It used to be years ago, I would help people find a job. Now we have some skill shortages. People can get out and find a job, but they want a career. It's two different things, right?
Right.
So how do I get a career? How can I leverage what I'm doing, but really look deep into what I want to do next? And I don't know about the people that you're talking to, but a lot of people that I talk to don't know what they want to do next.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a moving target. While there's some industries that are growing, like healthcare, childcare, you know, there's some different industries that are very much have that growth potential. Not everybody's interested in those, or they might want to do something different, right?
Right.
And it's just looking at how do you do that? I call it like that internal audit. How do you figure out what would really speak to you? What is it that you want to do next? What lights you up? What makes your Monday much more manageable? I would hate for anybody I work with to, you know, not enjoy their Sunday because they're worried about their Monday, right? So I always say to them, let's go a little deeper. People will come to me and say, I need a resume. I'm like, well, that's great. Let's do a resume. But what do you need it for? I don't know. So we kind of wind it backwards a little bit, right? We need to do some introspection. We need to do some, I call it internal auditing, where you talk about what you want and need and what you value. And then you look at those value alignments. Well, how does that company align with you? Not how do you align to them? How do they align with you?
Yeah.
What do you want first? So I don't know if I answered your question or not.
Well, I think you absolutely did, because I asked you what are some of the most common career questions that they would want to cover, some things that they're curious about in the career sphere. And you did. You very much did, because as I'm listening to you talk and some of the things that you've mentioned, many of the things that you've mentioned, working not just as a military spouse and moving from place to place, but also working with veterans and military spouses to construct those resumes, to help them figure out what's next, because it does take courage. And in our mind, we might have an idea of our trajectory, where we wanted to be. And that change as a military spouse, that has changed for me dramatically. It doesn't mean that I didn't attain my goals. That's not what it meant. It meant that the way that I proceeded to achieve those goals, the way that I looked at a career, the way that when we moved from the United States to Okinawa, Japan, which is a small island, what would I be doing there and having to think more creatively? If there was a span of time where during that move, it took some time to transition and feeling like there was a gap in that resume, what do I put on that resume during that gap related to those transferable skills? So a lot of things that you touched on even as somebody who has a lot of credentials, those things went through my head. What am I going to do now? Or I can't find a job here. And I've worked so hard to get all these credentials. There was even that feeling of, where is my purpose? What has become of me? We don't lose that. What it taught me was, especially when we made that move from the United States to Okinawa, Japan, which was a very small island and very limited jobs for military spouses. And I was around spouses who came from all different backgrounds, who were highly educated and credentialed, and they were doing things like bus duty, or they were doing things like sitting in a classroom and helping the school teacher of their children, or they were doing other things that were completely out of what they went to school for or what they've worked, what industry they've worked in. So even me, I had to think really creatively because, as you said, I'm going to date myself here. We didn't have as many digital resources as we do now. I had to think about if I wanted to stay in my career path because I loved it so much and being in the human services field, what did that look like for me there? And as you said, you have military or veterans or spouses transitioning and they've been in a certain industry or field, and then they come to your area and that's not being offered. So what next? Because that transition is hard, especially for military spouses. And I want to put this out there too, because a military member goes to a job. They already go to a job. A military spouse leaves a job, has to find another job, leaves a job, has to find another job. And that sense of purpose is really important to stay connected. And what you're doing is helping those people stay connected and having those conversations and being creative and co-creating. And that, I think, is really important.
Definitely. And knowing that you matter, right? Knowing right. that what you do matters is huge. And so many people are at a loss for that. And you're right. It is that piece of what is my purpose? What am I doing? Where am I at? Exactly what I think of is career trajectory. One of my best friends is married to, he's a veteran now, but at that time when we first met, he was a pilot. And, you know, his career was literally soaring. Yes. Okay. There you go. There's a metaphor, right? You use it both. But in the meantime, she was looking after the kids and the house and everything else. Like they, spouses will tell me, and it happened to me, you turn into a single parent here and there because other priorities happen. And then, you know, you look around and your spouse's career is taking off and yours is taking a hit, right?
Yes.
So even myself, Forrest, I said to my husband, you know, if I knew that it was you that I was going to end up with, and if I knew I was going to end up here, I don't know if I would have chosen the same career. I don't know if I would have started my same career in the same place, but it's got me where I love. So I'm good, right?
Yeah.
So it's those little pieces and parts. And it's, yeah, doing that introspection and mattering is so important and purpose is so important. And when those pieces are missing, you're right. You get depressed, you get lost. It's very hard to find your grounding. I had somebody say to me, I don't feel like I fit in my own skin. I don't feel like I'm comfortable in myself. And we do a lot of introspection, and I don't do mental health counseling. I have my SSW and I've done all of that, but we have counselors that are attached to the MFRC too, because some people just aren't ready for job search. But when they're ready, they can do that internal piece and then externally look out and say, okay, here's what I have to offer. Where do I want to put it? And then to give those tools to help to, you know, figure out where are those networks, figuring out those pieces and parts, but feeling that the work you're doing is making a difference is huge for people.
Absolutely. You're somebody who helped them become more enlightened, be that support where you also know the resources that are available and are familiar with. I think that's really important, especially for military and those that I've worked with in the past that are going through those transitions. They are conditioned to think in a more linear way, meaning they've done a job. How can that job apply to the outside world? And it doesn't have to be that way. They have an incredible skill set, a plethora of skills that they can offer. It's just, how are you viewing that? Having a objective perspective like you to say, oh, wait, these are transferable skills. You can use those in so many different ways. You'd be amazed. And it doesn't have to be just this one way. It's enlightening when they have folks like you that they can bounce that off of, or maybe me and or others out there in community who have these resources, who are these diverse, nonlinear thinkers, because we've had to be, we've been in these positions where we moved quite a bit, where we were like, oh yeah, we have to get up and find a new job. I became, and I called myself, the most incredible professional resume maker. Why?
Yes.
Because I was constantly doing it during every move. Again, I'm going to go back to this example. When we moved to Okinawa, not only was I leaving my personal network, I was leaving my professional network and going to a completely different country. And on top of it all, that first year was that transition, trying to find a job, trying to find a job. The second year, my husband was deployed to another country. So neither one of us was in our home country. We were both in a different country and we were not together for a year. And so when you had mentioned spouses feeling like, especially those that have children, being a single parent, that is exactly how I felt. I felt I didn't have children, but and my dog, you know, I in a different country, and I felt like I'm married, but I'm having to function as a single person right now.
Yes.
And what does that look like? How do
and
I do
that? It's all up
that?
to me. It's all up to me, right? Something happens, it's all up to me.
It's all up to me, one, because my husband was also in a war zone, so it wasn't like I can call him at any time. I didn't have access to him like that. It was all up to me. We were keeping rooted. I was trying to keep rooted here at where I was. So having a person to talk to about how do I transition? What does my life look like now in relation to my career path? Because I had just gotten my doctorate too.
Yes.
So there was a lot going on. You know, when you're able to talk to somebody in the career resource arena, it's important because you don't want to resent the person that you're with because you have to get uprooted all the time in your job because you can't help who you fell in love with, but you want to maintain that love. So how do you maintain a good relationship during each of those moves while feeling like you have a purpose? That's really critical.
Exactly. I've done a lot of work of late with that whole growth versus fixed mindset and the stories we tell ourselves, right?
Yes.
I'm part of some masterminds and different things with other career development professionals and just, you know, having those skills to help people find their own stories and their own uniquenesses and build on them so that even if it's not a career trajectory that you expected, you still feel like you're moving up as opposed to doing those sideways or worse, taking something less than.
Right. Yeah.
And to, you're right. And to have so much time invested into your own personal, here's where my career is going to go. And then all of a sudden it didn't. It's all of those pieces and parts and it stirs those emotions in you, right? I don't know about you, but when I think of things like that, my mind goes right back to the way I felt and what happened. And I think I pull that out when I deal with my clients because I get it.
Yeah.
I get it, right? I may not have the exact same emotions around what happened, but I do understand that there's some powerful emotions there and that we need to be able to stop and look at them, right? We need to be able to build on what it is that we can bring forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is so important because I think when we do that reflection and we have that sense of knowing and purpose, we can make it work. We can make anything work. And let me tell you, my husband and I are still together.
Awesome.
Each other. And and our relationship started at 17 and we're almost 55. So if that tells
That's
you anything,
beautiful.
You can make it work. And
there you go. Rockstar.
Yeah.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And yeah, and it's being able to find your own separate professional identity in doing so, right?
Absolutely.
So I know a lot of spouses will wait and they'll be raising kids while their spouse is in the military and building their career. And then afterwards, they'll start reaching out saying, okay, now I think I'm ready.
Yeah.
And they'll be concerned about, do I not have enough? And I'm like, well, let's look at some of the skills you've been using and let's look at some of the volunteer work you've been doing and let's look at some of the courses you want to take and just all of those pieces. So you're right. It's it's making it work. It's making the pieces work. And yeah, now I love my word mystifying that much more because I think it's all like that, right?
Yes, I
You
love
know?
that word, and it really ties into all of this. And one thing I do want to mention too is you had said that sometimes people aren't ready to even look for a job because they have to do maybe that inner work and they have to have a point of reflection. And I get that and I understand that. And at other times too, they might be confused because they haven't experienced anything for a long time other than the military or maybe the military lifestyle. So in that case, I would say go out and find a mentor, go out and find a coach, and more importantly, go out and volunteer because you never know what might come of that, not just as a job, but as a development in your curiosity and your creativity to find something unique and new that you didn't know you were passionate about.
Exactly. And just the way, I'm sorry, but just the way your heart feels when you give of your time,
Oh,
just
yeah.
that benevolence piece of being able to give is huge. And I know myself in our area, we have an agency that actually takes all the different volunteer opportunities. So I'm always telling my spouses, go there and check it out and see where you'd want to volunteer and be selective as to what you want to do with your time that you volunteer. Build those skills up. And I know employers that will look more highly on volunteer experience than work experience because guess what? You did it for free and they trusted you to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some really great benefits. And also, you know, honestly, I have met people that thought that they wanted to go back to school for a certain occupation or to work in a certain area that had gone into volunteer. And when they're in there for, you know, a week, a day, or whatever, usually it takes more than a day, but they're in there a little bit and they're like, oh, I don't think that's a right fit for me. Well, guess what? They just saved a lot of time and energy and money too, right? So
Absolutely.
great ad to consider volunteering. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, there's been so much that we've covered, and I want you to just touch on your podcast as well, Your Employment Detective. Tell us more about that and where folks can follow you and this podcast.
Perfect. Thanks. Yes, Your Employment Detective, that is me. It's like my alter ego. A lot of the work that I do is live and interactive. I won't tape Zoom groups when I do them because I want the groups to not feel that they are being recorded. I want the groups to be something that's authentic, that people can share. They can ask those silly questions if they want, or good questions, whatever. All questions are good questions as far as I'm concerned. But people were getting upset because they're like, there's nothing that's recorded. And what if I'm not available at that time? So I do the HERCS to start your small business. I do portfolio development, which looks after the RPL, but they're all recorded. So I wanted a podcast for the longest time. And my boss finally said, okay, do it. So I did it. So it's been out for a little bit over a year. It's on Spotify. It's called Your Employment Detective. And I'm having a blast. I am meeting the most incredible people. I always want it to be 15 minutes, half an hour at the most, and some resources, and just to connect people with other people, and just to realize that career development and job search and, you know, building your career is so much more than a resume. To me, a resume fits somewhere in the middle, maybe near the end, but yet people just go directly for the resume stuff. And there's just so much more about it when it comes to really curating or creating your career. So I'm hoping that as I sniff around and detect and try to solve some of those mysteries, I might solve some of my own as well. So yeah, you can find Your Employment Detective on Spotify. You can find me, Elizabeth Nicholas, on LinkedIn. And you can hit me up at the MFRC. So it's www.trenton, Trenton, MFRC.ca. So it stands for Military Family Resource Center.
Awesome. So as we come to the close of the interview, my last question is, if you were to give the listeners one tip to support their employment goals, what would it be, especially for those military families in transition or looking to make the jump from military life to civilian life?
I think that my tip I would give for any military community members that want to make the leap and move along, and whether you're leaving the military or you're retiring, or whether you're a military spouse, veteran spouse, take a bow and really give yourself the fact that being part of the military community makes you uniquely qualified for a whole variety of things, and really doing that auditing process and look at the skills and talents that you have just simply by being part of the community. You know, the resourcefulness and the persistence and the tenacity and just, you know, for lack of a better term, grit. I mean, amazing, amazing skills and talents. And really educate people on who you are and what you're looking for. Don't be shy. You don't have to wear a thing around your head on LinkedIn saying looking for a job, and you don't have to wear a billboard says, hey, give me a job. Make those connections. And as you make connections, you know, really build up that profile of yourself, who you are and what you're looking for, right? And look at those transferable skills, because there's tons of that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the spouses, of course, the military members, but especially the spouses, they go unrecognized for what they give to our countries. I mean, the things that I've seen military spouses do and sacrifice, even especially with their employment, make me want to, you know, report in every day, or even when I'm not working, I'm working, because I just have such an amazing passion for helping them to get where they want to go. Because I feel that they are a huge part of our military, is the spouses that are, you know, holding the home fronts together, for lack of a better term, right? So.
Yeah.
I think just give yourself a bow and reach out and take the resources that are there for you. I mean, the strongest people are the ones that use the resources and ask for help.
Well, thank you so much for that tip. And thank you, Elizabeth, for joining me on the Core Women podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me and letting me talk your ear off. And I am always in awe of you and your podcast and all the wonderful work that you do.
Thank you so much. You can follow Elizabeth Nicholas on LinkedIn, and you can also find her podcast, Your Employment Detective, on Spotify. You can also go to the Trenton MFRC website, and you can follow Trenton MFRC on Facebook as well.
Thank you for joining us on the Core Women Podcast with Dr. Summer Watson. We're so glad you're here and would love to connect more with you. Find us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Core Women, and on Twitter at Core Women One. For more about Core Women and Dr. Watson, visit corewomen.com. Want more support and resources for amazing women like you? Great! Join Dr. Watson and Jen Fontanilla at the Life, Love, and Money Collective, a Core Women production that aids in understanding the key traits that might be getting in the way of living a life that you are absolutely passionate about. Connect with Summer and Jen and find out more at thelifeloveandmoney.com.